Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special Boker Raton Synagogue Midrashah Pre-Chanukah Shir. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to present Shir this evening, and I thank you for joining me and taking time to share Divrei Torah, to inspire ourselves in Divrei Hisorus, in Yanei Chanukah. Chanukah is 1 week, 1.5 weeks away, Be'ezrat Hashem, so let us learn. So we're going to begin in the Gemara. I'm going to screen share with you. One second. I just have to make sure I have the right source. I want to go to the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara speaks about Ner Chanukah. Here we go. Okay, so here you have on the screen, you should be able to see it. Everyone is behind the black box, so I can't see any faces, but if for some reason you can't see my screen, then post on the chat, please, okay? Otherwise, you should be able to see that I am in Masechta Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbana, the rabbis taught in the Braisva. So what is the mitzvah of Chanukah? So a week from this coming Sunday evening, we will light the first Chanukah lecht. Tanu Rabbana, the rabbis taught in the Braisva. Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beiso. So the Gemara says that the most basic level of the fulfillment of Neros Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beiso. There is one lamp kindled by the head of the household for himself and the household. That means on every night of Chanukah, there's one candle lit by the head of the household, for him and the whole household. Now, this is not how we light Chanukah menorah today, but that is the most basic level of fulfillment. The head of the household lights one lamp every night of Chanukah, The Hamahadrin, a more elevated level than that, a more Mahadrin, Mihudar, when it comes to the mitzvos, we are supposed to fulfill not only the basic level of mitzvos, but they should be mehudar. Zakeli va'anvehu, this is my God, and I will exalt him. I will laud him, Sefer Shemos, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Beis, what we know as Az Yashir. Zakeli va'anvehu, so the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Amud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara speaks about how we are supposed to beautify the mitzvos. What does it mean, Zakeli va'anvehu, this is my God, and I will beautify him, so to speak, beautify the mitzvos. So the Gemara there says that we should have a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful arba minim, beautiful tzitzis. When it comes to the mitzvah, they're supposed to be more beautiful than just the basic. You shouldn't want to get away with fulfilling the most basic level of requirement. Rather, it should be more beautiful. So the Mahajan level of fulfillment of the most basic level of fulfillment is near Yishu Beiso. The Mahajan level of fulfillment is near Lechol Echad Ve'echad. And every night of Chanukah, everyone in the household lights one near. Now, this is also not what we do. Baruch Hashem, we live in a time of plenty. We don't live in a time where we are in, God forbid, of shmad or of extreme poverty where people cannot fulfill a more mehudar level of the mitzvah. And now the Gemara says, v'hamehadrin min hamehadrin, the more elevated way of beautifying the mitzvah is machlokes. Beis Shammai says one thing and Beis Hillel says another thing. Beis Shammai omrim, Beis Shammai says, yom mishon madlik shmona mikon ve'elech polcheis v'holeich. Beis Shammai says, what do? On the first night you light 8, and from then on you decrease with every night. So on the first night you'll light 8, on the second night you light 7, on the third night you would have 6, on the last night you will have 1 ner. Now this doesn't sound like why we do either. Now according to Beis Shammai, that's the Mahajan min a Mahajan. That's not what we do either. However, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas Mikam Ve'elech Mosif Olech. Ah, this sounds very familiar to us. Beis Hillel says, no, on the first night you light 1, and from there on you increase with every night. So on the first night you have 1, the second night you have 2. The finally, by the 8th night, you will have 8 lights. So when we look at the structure of Chanukah, you see that what we should always try to be doing is increasing in the mitzvah. And in fact, we paskin like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Why? Ma'alin b'kodesh ve'einan moridin. Because in life, a person should always be striving to rise higher in Kedusha, and not decrease. So if you start with 8, like Beis Shammai says, and go down to 1, you are decreasing, so to speak, in Kedusha. We don't want to be decreasing, we always want to be increasing. So therefore, we start with 1, like Beis Hillel says, and we go up to 8. And this is Chanukah, an acronym for Chanukah is. Chanukah is an acronym for Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. Chanukah, Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. We talk, in fact, light 8 lamps, and the halacha is like Beis Hillel, and it's a message for life as well, that in life, no matter our age, no matter our stage, no matter our station in life, a person always has to be working to increase their spirituality and never decreasing. And the truth is, the moment we become complacent is the moment we become decreasing. There's no such thing as being able to stand in one place. Chanukah represents we take from one flame and light the next flame and the next and the next. That a person always has to be actively working to kindle within themselves higher levels of ruchnius. Because the moment we stop working, there's no such thing as if I'm not actively working, I'll maintain. It does not work like that in Yahadus. The moment you disconnect and you stop trying to ascend is the moment you are going to chas v'shalom descend. So this is what the Gemara says about lighting the Chanukah Lecht. Now, where do we see in the Chumash, do we see in the Chumash, allusions to Chanukah and the menorah? Because like we know, there are no outright explicit allusions to Chanukah in the Chumash. Chanukah is a mitzvah derabanan, like we see here from the Gemara. Of course, it's derabanan. It happened in the time of Baisheni. The fight between the Maccabim and the Yavanim, the Syrian Greeks, and the Hellenists, the Misyavnim, was about 200 years before destruction of the Second Temple. So we're going back about 2,200 years ago. It, of course, came far after Moshe received the Torah at Sinai. This is not a biblical law. It is a law of the Rabbanim. It is mitzvah derabbanan, but do we see allusions to it in the Chumash? So the answer is yes. So I'm now switching the page, and you should see here that I am in Bereishis Perak Aleph. Yeah? Could you see Chanu Asherman? Most people are behind their black boxes. Yeah, you could see. Okay, fine. So the first allusion to Chanukah in the Chumash is right in the beginning. I'm just going to make a shahako on my water. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shahakol nehiya bedvaro. Okay, the first allusion to Chanukah, I think is famous, but it's always interesting nevertheless, and that is right in the beginning. If you look at the first few psukim of the Chumash, okay, Parak Aleph of Bereishis, psukim Aleph through Hey, Bereishis bar Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esarz. In the beginning, Elokim created the heavens and the earth. Are now here, there's so much to learn. You could learn these psukim for 120 years and probably never be finished and never uncover all the secrets of Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esar. It's in the beginning Elokim created the heavens and the earth. Va'aretz ha'isa sohu v'vohu. The earth was chaos and void. V'choshech al p'nei tzom. Look at this, choshech. There was darkness over the surface of the deep. V'ruach Elokim merachafes al p'nei amayim. And all there was the surface of God hovering over the surface of the water. Did I say the surface of God? The Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the water. Vayomer Elokim yihi ar. Elokim said that there be light. Vayihi ar, and there was light. Vayar Elokim yisar ki tov. God saw the light that it was good, and he separated between the light and the darkness. And Elokim called the or day, and to the choshech he called laila. It was evening. It was morning. Yom echad. So what we see here is that Hashem created the first thing necessary for the integrity and success and the foundation of the world was something called or light. Without or, apparently, the entire world could not be created. Hashem could have chosen to create anything first. Hashem could have made man first. Hashem could have made, I don't know, the constellations first. Hashem could have made the fish first. Maybe they didn't need water right away. Hashem could have made anything first. Maybe he would have made plants first. The first thing that Hashem created was or. Without or, the world cannot exist. Also note that what existed before the or was the state of choshech. Tohu v'vohu v'choshech. What banishes the choshech? Or, this is true of us in our lives. We are in a very long, very difficult, very bitter galus. It's almost 2,000 years. In 2070, it'll be 2,000 years. It'll be, Mashiach will come before then. Of Chalila v'chas, I don't even want to say. But it would be, if Mashiach did not come before then, which won't happen, be 2,000 years since Chorban Bayesheni. What do we need in order to banish the darkness? Or, it's very famous, and if you follow along, you'll see, if you count on your fingers, Bereishis bar Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Arts, seven words, Va'aretz ha'isa sohu v'vohu v'choshech al p'nei tohom, V'ruach Elokim merachavas al p'nei hamayim, V'yom Elokim yihi or. If you were counting with me on your fingers, even though we don't have 25 fingers, we don't only have 10, so you had to do the cycle a few times, or is the 25th word in Torah. So the first allusion that we have to Chanukah in the Torah is that the word or, the first time a word appears in Chumash, is very significant. Like I teach all the time, nothing in the Torah is an accident. The fact that or is the 25th word in the Chumash is not an accident. It is an allusion to Chaf Hei Kislev, the 25th of Kislev, when we celebrate the Yom Tov of Or, and we take the light of the menorah, the Chanukah Licht, and we bring a lot of light to a world that is full of darkness, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam when he created the world. Furthermore, we know about this light, the light of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Rashi says, even though I don't have Rashi on this page that I prepared, but just listen, Rashi says, Because Baruch Hu saw the light and it was good. This first light is not the sun and the moon. That's created with the Ma'oras HaRaki on the fourth day. This first light is some kind of primordial light that banishes away darkness. And Chazal says, quoted by Rashi and Chumash, that Hashem saw the light. It was so good, he hid it away for the tzaddikim la'asid lavo. Hashem said, this light is not for the Rashaim to make use of. I'm hiding it away. It's a special light. This light manifests in every generation in 36 hidden righteous. We know that there are something called the Lamed Vav Tzadikim in every generation. There are 36 hidden righteous in every generation. Each one of those 36 carries a hidden spark or degree of this primordial light that Hashem created that's too good for the Rashaim to use. Hashem hid it away for the Tzadikim Asud Lavo. This isn't talking about the sun and the moon and the Milky Way galaxy and shooting stars. This is talking about an intense light of Kedusha that banishes away the most dark of darkness, without which the world cannot exist, and it was divided between 36 tzaddikim in every generation. This light is always hidden from us, but on Hanukkah, we all have an opportunity to access this light by lighting the Hanukkah licht. And without the Shamus, how many lights do we light on Hanukkah without the Shamus, which is just the helper light? 1 + 2 + 3 + 4. We actually light 36 lights on Hanukkah. So those 36 lights that we kindle on Hanukkah are equal to the Lamed Vav Tzadikim in each generation. When we light those 36 lights over the 8 days of Hanukkah, we have the opportunity to access those 36 hidden measures or hidden degrees of light and bring this light of Kedusha, the light of Geula, the light of Torah, and the light of the Ribon Sha'olam into a very dark world. So what is otherwise hidden from us, because it is hidden and dispersed into the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, on Hanukkah we can access it when we light the 36 lecht, and that 36 corresponds to the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. B'nei Yisachar points out, Kislev, Chaf Samech, Lamed Vav, is a contraction of two words, Kisui, the Chasot, to cover something, okay? Kekala, like Rashi says by the Mishkan, the cloth over the front entrance of the Mishkan in the east hung an amos over the entrance of the Mishkan. And Rashi says, Kikala tsnua hamechasa bitsaif espaner. End of Sefer Shemos. And Rashi, when the Prakim are talking about, the Parshas are talking about Melechus HaMishkan. So when it comes to the Mishkan, there is an extra amma of fabric from the roof of the Mishkan that hangs over the front of the Mishkan. Why does the front of the Mishkan need a piece of fabric hanging over her face? Well, she says, Kekala tznua ha-mechusa bitza'if asponeh. Like a tznias kala who covers up her face. So mechusa lechasot is to cover up. Kislev, chav samach, is to cover something up. Kisui. Lamed Vav is the Lamed Vav hidden degrees of light. So the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. So the whole rest of the year, Kisui, Lamed Vav, it's all hidden from us. But along comes Kislev Chanukah. And with the Chanukah licht, we have the koch to uncover what is usually hidden. And therefore, this 25th word in the Torah, Or, which was divided amongst the tzaddikim la'asid lavo, which generally is not accessible to us because we're in a very, very dark galus, on Hanukkah it's accessible. And every time we light the Hanukkah menorah, we have the koach to reveal some of this light into our lives, into our homes, into ourselves. Kisui lamed vav. The power of Hanukkah is to banish what is hidden, kisui, and to reveal the lamed vav. So the first allusion to Hanukkah in the Torah, like we see here on the screen, is in Bereishis Perak Aleph Pasuk Aleph, like we have just gone through. 25th word is Or, and everything we spoke about subsequently. We have another allusion to Hanukkah in the Torah, and that is in the book of Bamidbar, okay, Paraches, right here. You should see that I switched to Bamidbar Paraches. Yes, Chano Wasserman? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so this is the beginning of Parshas Baal Loscha. Now what you have to know is that in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, Parshas Naso, you have all the Chanukas HaNesiim. You have all the contributions that were brought to the Mishkan. Our one fell very bad. Chal Shadato Shelo Hayayimehem Lohu Velo Hiv Shivto. Aaron fell very bad. He's from Shevet Levi. And his Shevet doesn't get to contribute anything to the gifts that were coming by the inauguration of the Mishkan. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chayecha shalcha gedola mishalhem. I'm quoting Rashi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, your reward is greater than them. Shata madlik umeti vesenevish. Hashem said to Aaron, don't worry, that's Rashi to the beginning of Baal Oschach. Okay? Why does lighting of the menorah immediately follow the contributions and gifts to the Mishkan? So Rashi zukt Rashi. Aaron felt bad. Chal shel dato, his mind was weak. He wasn't with them. Not him and not a shevet. So Hashem said, don't worry. Your reward is greater than theirs. You will be madlik umeti vesaneris. You will light and prepare the lamps. Okay. So v'edaber Hashem al Moshe leimar, paloscha perchesel b'midbar, daber al Aaron v'amarte elav, paloscha saneris, amul p'nei ha-menorah y'irushu vesaneris. So here we clearly have the topic of menorah and light. Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you kindle the lamps, amul p'nei ha-menorah, towards the face of the menorah, in the Mishkan with seven branches. We light an eight-branched menorah. It was seven branches, three on one side, three on another side, and the center shaft was called the menorah. In the Mishkan, the center shaft was called the menorah. Then they have three branches on the right, three on the left. So what was known as the menorah, so when it says, El mul p'nei ha-menorah, yiru shiva saneros, what the Chumash means is that the flames on the right three branches and the flames on the left three branches should face towards the center shaft. Vayaskein Aaron, Aaron did so. By the way, Rabbi Zavaf has a beautiful var on that, quoting the Sfarno. He says that the branches on the right represent the learners, and the branches on the left represent the earners. You could say Yisachar and Zvulun if you want. And only when they both face inward towards each other and face the menorah, which represents the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the system of Kaiso works beautifully. The earners have to appreciate the learners. The learners have to appreciate the earners. Everyone has to face the center shaft of the menorah. And when Yisachar and Zvulun work together, this one learns. This one supports the learning. Each one appreciates the tafkid of the other. Then we will bring the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Good Mr. Haskell, whichever camp you're in, the Yisachar or the Zvulun, the earner or the learner, we have to learn not only to appreciate our own tafkid, but to appreciate the tafkid of somebody else. Face each other with respect, give towards each other, and then Ya'iru Shiva Saneris. Only then will all seven lights cast, all seven lamps cast their light. Only when the earners, those on the right, the earners, those on the left, face each other, then Ya'iru Shiva Saneris. Okay. Just a little aside. Vayaskein Aaron, Amul Panei Menorah. Aaron did so towards the face of the menorah. Halanei Rosha caused the lamps to go up. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And then we are told what the menorah was. Beaten out of gold. From its base, its flowers. One solid block of gold. So I already quoted Rashi. So where is the allusion to Chanukah? I didn't say an allusion to Chanukah. Yeah, I just told you what Rashi says. Rashi says, Kishara Aaron Chanukah Senesiyim. Chal Shadato Shalohu Ayayim Ahem. Knohu Velo Shifto. Amar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chayecha Shechol Gdola Mishalah. So what's going on here? So the Ramban, which is very lengthy, so we're not learning it inside tonight, for lack of time, and of time I prepared other things as well, so I'm just paraphrasing the Ramban. It's a very beautiful Ramban, but the Ramban says this can't be talking about the Nechama to Aaron, that he was left out of Chanukah Sanasiyim, can't be talking about the fact that he's going to light menorah in the Mishkan, because that's not forever. Aaron's going to die because he was a human being. He was a Basar Adam. So what's the consolation to Aaron that Hashem says, oh, don't worry, you're left out of those matanos to the Mishkan, but you're going to light the menorah. How's that a consolation? So the Ramban says it's talking about Chanukah Acheres Sheyeshu Vanecha. No, it's a different Chanukah, says the Ramban. Hashem is not consoling Aaron with the Hadlakas Neiros Menorah in the Mishkan. He's consoling him with the Chashmonaim, who are from the house of the Kohanim. The Chashmonaim are a house of Kohanim, who will rise up against the Yevanim, who will light the menorah and bring Torah and light back to Knesset Yisrael. So according to the Ramban, the Nachmanides, the constantly beautiful parish on the Chumash here, if you look it up, to Bamidbar Paraches Pasuk Beis, the consolation to Aaron was not that he himself, one person, is going to light menorah and the Mishkan, but rather that his children, in a couple of generations, a few generations, would light the menorah. They would rekindle the flame of Yahadus amongst Knesset Yisrael. They would battle the Yevanim, the Syrian Greeks. They would rise up against the Miskavlim, the Hellenists. And that would be the consolation to Aaron, that his children will light menorah in the future, and that we'll still be lighting menorah today. The Ramban says it would be an eternal menorah. That's a consolation to Aaron. When we light menorah today, we are rekindling the light of Torah and Yahadus amongst Knesset Israel. We are rebattling and having a victory over the forces that want to destroy us, yes, even today. And that's the greatest consolation to Aaron HaKohen, that his children, would be lighting the menorah to remind ourselves that Torah and Yahadus would always triumph. So we began in the Gemara Masach HaShabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis. We learned that the most basic level is Ner Ishu Beisho. One man is Yotze, the whole household with one candle. Then the Gemara says, no, the Mahadran is Ner Lechol Echad Ve'Echad. Every person lights one lamp every night. Mo, Mahadran bin a Mahadran Sekeli Va'anvehu, the mitzvah should be Mehudar, says the Gemara Shabbos Kuflam Gemma Amad Beis. So what is Mahadran bin a Mahadran? So Beis Shammai says, you light eight and you go down to one. Beis Hillel says, no, you light one and you go up to eight. What do we do? Chasneiros v'alacha kebeis hillel ma'alim bekodesh ve'ena maridin. We paskel like beis hillel because we always want to be ascending in kedusha. Okay. Now, even though Chanukah is a mitzvah derabbanan, are there allusions to Chanukah in the Torah? So the answer is clearly yes. Like we're learning, just like for example, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, 139b, Esther mina Torah minayin. Haman mina Torah minayin, Mordechai mina Torah minayin. Even though Esther, Mordechai, and Haman are not biblical personalities in terms of the Torah, they are part of Ketuvim, but not part of the Torah per se. And Purim is also a mitzvah derabbanan. Is there an allusion in the Torah to Esther? So yes, the Gemara says Anochi Aster Esther Panaymi Kem Bayamahu Devar and Perak Lamed Aleph Psukim Yud Zayin Dvu Yud Ches. Yes, there's an allusion to Esther in the Torah when the Torah speaks about Rachman Al Son Hester Panim. What about Haman? Is there an allusion to Haman in the Torah? Yes, Perak Gimel Pasuk Tes Hamina Eitz Asher Sivitzichel Avilti Ochami Mena Achalta. Did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from? Hamin Ha'Eitz Haman Ha'Eitz. Mordechai mina Torah minayin, Parshas Kisisa, Paraglam and Aleph. When you talk about the ingredients, the special spices of the anointing oil. So one of the spices, Targum Unka says, Mordrar, Mordecha. It is a special spice that Targum Unka says. It's called Mordecha, Mordechai mina Torah. Yes, so there are allusions to rabbinic holidays and mitzvos in the Chumash itself. So now what we're asking is, are there allusions to Chanukah? I almost said Purim. Are there allusions to Chanukah in the Torah? So yeah, we began in Bereishis, Perak Aleph, and we saw that Chanukah is the 25th word of the Torah. What existed before was Choshech. We spoke about that hidden R that Hashem put away for the Tzadikim Lasad Lavo, the Lamed Vavnix, Kisui Lamed Vav. Then we went to Bamidbar Perachesk, and we see another allusion to Chanukah min Torah. When Aaron was consoled for missing out on the gifts coming to the Chanukah's HaMishkan, so Hashem said, I have something much better for you. What do I have for you? The lighting of the menorah, says the Ramban, has that a consolation from Aaron when he dies? What kind of consolation is that? Why is that any better than bringing the gifts of the Chanukah Sanasim? Or, says the Ramban, it's not talking about Aaron lighting the menorah. It's talking about his children and their children and their children and their children under the Chashmonaim, who would rekindle the flame of Yahadus amongst Klal Yisrael, rededicate the sanctuary, light the menorah. That's the greatest consolation to Aaron HaKohen. And in fact, it would be a Chanukah Acheres that would continue down to our day and age. Okay, so far we see that there are two allusions in the Chumash that clearly are Ramazim to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Next, let's go to this week's Parsha. So you should see that I went to Sefer Bereishis, Perek Lamed Beis. Yeah, kind of awesome. And you're preempting my question. Thank you so much. Okay. I don't know if other teachers are neurotic. Micha Haaretz is clearly a little neurotic about, do you see my screen? I think every shiur that I record probably says, could you see my screen? I'm sorry, I'm having a hard week. But Baruch Hashem Torah makes me feel better. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So, in this week's Sadra, okay, which is Parshas Vayishlach, in this week's Sadra and Parshas Vayishlach, we have the historic confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov was by Laban for 20 years. He worked for 7 years for Leah, unbeknownst to him. Then he worked for 7 years for Rachel, and then 6 years for the fox, and now he's finally ready to go home. He's meeting Esav HaRasha. He doesn't know what Esav wants to do, but the last he heard, Bereishis 27:41. Vayistom Esav bilibo al brachos asher bercho aviv. No, vayistom Esav al brachos asher bercho aviv. Vayomer Esav bilibo yikruv v'yimei evil aviv ahargos Yaakov achi. The last thing Yaakov Avinu knows is that Esav wants to kill him. Now, they don't have WhatsApp, they don't have Facebook, they don't have instant messaging, they don't have email, they don't have phone call. So he doesn't send a letter home at some point after 10 years and say, oh, do you still hate me or can I come home now? He has no idea what Esav's feelings are. All he knows is that the last he heard, Esav wants to come. His mother tells him run away, his father tells him run away, he runs away. He's coming home. He thinks he's going to face annihilation. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. So he prepares for war. How does he prepare for war? In three ways. The Chumash and Rashi tell us. How? He divides his camp. He says, if Esav hits one, remember, he ran away penniless, all alone. He's coming back very wealthy. His four wives, two wives and two shvachos, 12 children, 11 sons and Dina. Binyamin is born later in the Sedra, and he has a lot of sheep and cattle and camels and manservants and maidservants. He's very wealthy now. So he, and populated, populous, numerous. He divides his family into two camps. He says, there will be Sha'erisa Pleta. If Esav strikes this one at least the remnant will survive. Okay, so that's one thing. Second, he prays, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emesa sh'arasisi asavdecha, ki b'makli avardi as-hayardin as-eh, atzileni nya miyad achim miyad Esav, ki yarayani mipanav. And finally, he sends presents. Hundreds of animals. You could add them up. The Chumash tells us how many he sends. Okay. Ewes and camels and nurslings and sheep. And he sends hundreds of animals. So these are the ways that he prepares for battle. Daron, present, tefillah, and he divides his camp. The night before he meets Esav, he doesn't know what's going to happen, which is in Perek Lamed Gimel. The night before he meets Esav's Sar Shal Esav. He meets Esav's superpower. The name of the superpower you're not allowed to say. I never knew this, but a number of years ago, interestingly, I was teaching about this superpower, and I said the name of the superpower. I mean, if you look in the Mikros Gadolos, you'll see it. Okay? The Mefarshim write it. And someone in class said to me, you know, she thinks you're not supposed to say that name. I never knew that. So I asked Rabbi Shai Shachter, and he said, yes, there's something to it. You're talking not supposed to say the name of this superpower of angel. So I'm going to spell it for you, and you can put it together by yourself. It's a Samich, then a Mem, then an Aleph, then a Lamed. That's the name of the angel that Yaakov was fighting with. Samech, then Mem, then Aleph, then Lamed. And the Mefarshim say it was the Satan, Yetzirah, and Malcha Mavis all in one. The very bad superpower. And Esav meets him, Yaakov meets him on the river Yabok. So let's look here. You see on my screen, Bereishis 32:23. Esav, why do I keep saying that? Yaakov gets up that night. He takes his two wives and his two shvachos. That means Leah and Rachel and Zilpah and Bilhah. His 11 children. Dina's in a box. He crosses the Jabbok ford. And he takes them. He passes them over the river. And he takes over all his possessions. Vayivasar Yaakov Levado. 32:25. You see right here on my screen. Lamed Beis Chofhei. And Yaakov was left all alone. Excuse me. Vayavekish imar alas hashachar. A man wrestled with him until the morning dawn. Vayavek is from the word avak, like dust. Rashi says, which is on the other side of the screen, they kicked up dust all the way to the kisei hakavod. So the whole night they're fighting. The angel look, and he sees the angel that he cannot overcome Yaakov. Vayiga bekaf yerecho. He strikes the thigh bone, the socket of the thigh bone. Vateka kaf. Yerech Yaakov, and the thigh bone of the socket of the thigh bone was dislocated from this wrestling. And the angel says, send me, it's my turn to sing Shira. Yaakov says, I'm not sending you until you give me a blessing. The angel says, what's your name? Yaakov. You're not going to be Yaakov anymore, you're going to be Israel. And he calls the place Peniel, and the sun shines for him, and he crosses Penuel, and he's limping al yerecho on his hip. And therefore the B'nesha cannot eat the Gid HaNesha. Why? Ki naga bekaf yarech Yaakov b'Gid HaNesha. Because the angel struck the socket of the thigh bone, the Gid HaNesha, the sciatic nerve. Why was Yaakov left all alone? We read that he crossed his family over the Jabbok Ford, the Jabbok River. And why is he left all alone? By Yvasar Yaakov Avadov, the Das Akenim, just as an aside, Mibal Tosfos is a very, very powerful piece. He says that this is a punishment, that the children of Yaakov should not have left him alone. They're not babies anymore. Reuven, Shimon, Leah had her children right away. They shouldn't have left Yaakov alone. When you leave a Jew alone, says the Das Akenim, Mibal Tosfos, he becomes susceptible to attack by the enemy. Just a side point. By Yvasar Yaakov Avadov, why is he all alone? So very, very famous mamar of Rashi, you see it over here. Shachach pakim titanim v'chazar aleihem. He was left all alone because he forgot some small jugs and he went back to the other side to retrieve his small jugs. He thinks he's about to be killed. He thinks half his family is about to be killed. Who cares about the Tupperwares on the other side of the river? Okay, go to Amazon.com and order some new ones. They're disposable. Why are you going back for kapim kitanim? You're facing the threat of death by your brother, Vayistam Esav. Yikruvu yimei eva aviva ahargos Yaakov achi. Who cares about the Tupperware? So I want you to focus on a few things before I stop screen sharing. Okay, first of all, shachach, he forgot. Kapakim, jugs. Ktanim, small ones. Furthermore, he was injured bekaf, yerecho, the socket of the hip. Shachach, he forgot. Kapim kitanim, small jugs. He was injured bekaf, yerecho. Remember, we're talking about where are there remazim to Hanukkah in the Torah. Because we don't see Hanukkah explicitly in the Torah, just like we don't see Purim explicitly in the Torah. But are there remazim to Hanukkah in the Torah? So the answer is, yes, there are. And that's what we are speaking about. Bereishis Perek Aleph, but Midbar Perek Ches. And now we went to this week's Sedra, which is Parshas Vayishlach. And in Parshas Vayishlach, we start to talk about Yaakov, who goes back for some small jugs the night before the confrontation with Esav. I now quote Divrei Torah from Rebbetzin Shira Smiles. Rebbetzin Shira Smiles teaches as follows. The first time we hear about small jugs of oil, now we know, of course, the mitzvah of Chanukah. I didn't show you the Gemara yet. I'm planning, B'li Neder, to end the shir, going back to Masecha Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about actually the Chanukah miracle. Actually, maybe I should do that first. Actually, we'll do that first. To make the, put it all together. Okay, you could see I went back here. Chana Wasserman, yeah? Okay, so we already did this first piece of Masechah Shabbos Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The kasha is, how do we light Chanukah? So we already determined we paskin according to Beis Hillel. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Ma'i Chanukah. Okay, what is Chanukah? The Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught on the Brisa. B'chav hei b'kislev, yom hei d'Chanukah. So on chav hei kislev, it is the days of Chanukah. Timana, 8 days of the days of Chanukah. Inun delo l'mishpat b'hon u'delo l'yisanisbon. And we're not allowed to give hespedim on Chanukah, and we're not allowed to fast on Chanukah. What is the story of Chanukah? Says the Gemara, k'shenichnesu yivanim l'heicha. Again, Second Temple period, about 200 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. K'shenichnesu yivanim l'heicha. When the yivanim entered the sanctuary, timu kol shkmanim shebeheichal. They defiled all the oils that were in the heichal. U'k'shegavra machus beis chashmonai. And when the house of the chashmonaim, the kohanim, the consolation to Aaron was victorious, v'nitzchum, and they won. Badku, they checked the beis hamikdash, v'lo matzu ala. Pach echad shal shemen. They only found one pach shal shemen. Shahaya munach b'chos mashal kohen gadol. That's still, you know, when you buy jam, lahavda alfa avdalis, I'm sorry, but it says if the seal is popped up, don't use it. That's what I always imagine. They found only one jug of oil, pach echad shal shemen, that was with the chosein, the stamp of the kohen gadol. V'lo haya bo ela lahavdit yam echad. There was only enough oil to light one day. Nasa bones, it was a great miracle. I mean, there's so much to talk about on this Gemara, okay? But we're going to talk about one nekuda. A big miracle was done, and one day of oil lasted for 8 days. Neshana acheres, for the next year, kivam vasuim yamim tovim bahala vahoda. The next year they established and they made it yamim tovim, and with halal and with hoda'a. So they found a pach echad. Okay. He went back for Pakim Ktanim. You see, Pach is the singular, Echad. He went back for his multiple jugs, but it's the same Shoresh, it's the same word. Going back to Robertson Shear Smash, the first time we hear of small jugs of oil is when Yaakov Avinu is left alone. He transported his family to the other side of the Yabok River, and he was left vulnerable from the attack by Esav's angel, which we already spoke about, Samech, then Mem, then Aleph, then Lamed. Why was he alone? I told you what Rashi says. No, we saw Rashi together. Rashi says he went back to achieve some small jugs of oil. Shachach, he forgot. What was so important about this? These jugs? Why was Yaakov, was he so materialistic, as Esav thought? He would endanger his life and the life of his family for a small possession, like I say, some Tupperwares. I mean, just buy new ones. Who cares? Pikuach nefesh is docha kol. If he was so materialistic, which obviously he wasn't, so it's rhetorical that he was no better than Esav himself, then we understand why he's going back for the jugs. But Yaakov recognized, however, that oil, these jugs, as well as all things important, as all things material, were important. Because everything material can be used to serve a spiritual purpose. Yaakov went back for the small jugs of oil to teach us that everything material can be used for an elevated spiritual purpose, which really takes our shir almost back full circle. We said, Chasneros v'alacha kebeis hillel ma'alim b'kodesh ve'enon moridin. Everything in life is a tool to allow us to access higher levels of kedusha. This oil, that's Rabbi David Hofstetter in Dorash David, was the oil Yaakov used to anoint the Metzeva. He erects a monument, the memorial that he would build to Hashem and Beit El. It's in this week's Sadra. When he goes back to Beit El, look in the beginning of Perek Lamed Hey, after the violation of Dina, he tells his family, remove all the Avodah Zarah that's in your midst. They return to Beit El Luz, and he anoints a Matseva with oil. This oil, says Rabbi David Hofstetter in his Darash David, is the oil that he retrieved from the other side of the Yabok River. The Megala Amukos notes, it's the same jug and oil that the Chashmonaim found in the temple years later. So Yaakov anoints the place, and he calls it Beis El, using the jug of oil that he went back to retrieve, the Pach Echad Shal Shemen that the Chashmonaim found in the time of the Second Temple, was that same Pach Shemen. This is phenomenal. In fact, notes Rabbi Eisenberg in Misilo Bilvavam, this dichotomy of purpose was the crux of the battle between Yaakov and Esav. Is materiality a means and an end? Or is materiality a means to an end? Is everything gashmius only for the sake of gashmius itself? Or do we use gashmius to enhance our ruchnius? Yaakov shachach. Remember I showed you in Rashi, I pointed out to you. I said, I want you to remember. Shachach. He forgot these vessels. Yavan wanted to bring Choshech into the world. Shachach is the exact same letters as Choshech. Shin, Chof, Ches. Rearrange them, Choshech. And I'm going to tie it into how we began in Bereshit Perek Al Pasuk Aleph. Remember the first thing in the world that was there was Choshech. The or, the 25th word, banishes away the Choshech. Yaakov Shachach, Kapim Ktanim. The Yavanim came along and wanted to bring Choshech into the world. Esav wanted to forget and extinguish the light of Torah, just like the Greeks would try to make us lahashkicham Torah Secha, like we say in Alanism and Bimei Matisyahu, Ben Yochanan Koy Gadol Chashmonai. Yaakov Shachach Kapim Ktanim. The Yavanim came along and reinstituted or reintroduced Choshech into the world, like we say in Bimei Matisyahu, lahashkicham Torah Secha. Through their Choshech, they wanted to make us forget. Just like the Sar Shal Esav wanted Yaakov to forget the jugs of oil which represent the light of Kedusha. The angel, although not successful in overcoming Yaakov, but he injured him. He injured him, I pointed it out to you, on the Kaf. Kaf Yerecho. To profane the Pach of oil. Kaf and Pach are the exact same letters. It's only two letters. If you switch it around, you read it one way, it's Kaf Yerecho, the socket of the thigh bone. You read it the other way, it's the Pach Shal Shemen. The angel injured Yaakov on the Kaf to try and make him forget the Pach. Yaakov shachach the jugs. The Yevanim wanted to bring choshech to the world. Like we say, the purpose of their choshech was lahashgicham Torah secha. They wanted us to forget Torah. The battle, therefore, we see, says Robertson Shira smiles, was for control over the purpose of oil. Would material possessions serve merely physical purposes, like Esav? Asui, Nigmar, Rashbam. Why was he called Esav? He was done, he was complete, he was finished. He had nothing further to do in Avodas Hashem. Asui v'nigmar. Whoever he was, he was. He was not a person who was growing. Yaakov is the antithesis of this. Yaakov is always striving to do more and more. And where do we fall on the spectrum between a Yaakov and an Esav, chas v'shalom? We should always be striving to do more and more. Ma'alim b'kodesh. It's a battle over the Shemen Zayizach. It's a battle over Choshech Lahashkicham Torasecha. It's a battle between the Pach Shemen and the Kaf Yerecho. We can now better understand, she continues, the struggle for the flasks of oil. As Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein writes, material possessions can be viewed as having and being a means to a higher end. Are your material possessions a means to a higher end? So is wine a means to a higher end? Is wine a means to making kiddush? Is wine a means to kiddushin under the chuppah? Is wine a means to arba kosos on Pesach? And you take in wine. Wine is just base gashmius, and you elevate it to kedusha. Or is wine something that's just material, and you get drunk, and you have a good time, and you celebrate New Year's, and watch the ball drop, God forbid. Everything physical can either be used for physicality in and of itself or for a spiritual purpose. Are they a means to an end or an end unto themselves? Esav's angel wanted Yaakov to forget the jugs, to stop utilizing materiality for serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Yaakov is victorious. Yaakov goes back for the jugs. And in Perek Lamed Hey, he takes that oil and he anoints a metzev and he says, this is base El. The whole purpose of our lives here is to take what is material and to elevate it in service of God. Rabbi David Cohen notes, continuing with Robertson Shira Smiles, that the Beis HaMikdash was the actualization of the concept of elevating the material and mundane to the spiritual. It's no accident that the victory of the Maccabim, the Chashmonaim, Kishenichnesu, Yevanim Laheichal, I showed you Masechta Shabbos Chaf Aleph Beis before we went to this week's Parashah and Shira, Rabbits and Shira Smas, Kishenichnesu Yevanim Laheichal, Timul Kol Hashmanim. The Yevanim wanted to show that the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, which was to take everything physical and elevate it into Kedusha, served no purpose. So they defiled everything physical. So we should not be able to use the physical and the mundane in service of Hashem. The Chashmonaim came in, Badku v'lo matzu ala pach achad shel shemen. When the Chashmonaim came, they said, is there anything even here we can use to serve God anymore? Everything has been defiled. Because Esav, the Greeks, Gaulus, wants to show that everything is profaned. But they found that pach achad shel shemen. The Beis HaMikdash is the actualization of taking Gashmias and making it Ruchnias. Because the walls, the vessels, the animals, are all physical things. But they're used for sanctification. The Yevani mentality, the Greek mentality, is using everything for personal enjoyment. With their mentality, listen to this. Excuse me, the physical world of seven, Teva is seven, can never be elevated. Because their mentality is, Teva is nature, seven is nature. Use everything in nature to serve your own purposes. We elevate nature to the realm of eight. And we take everything in nature and elevate it to Avodas Hashem. How long is Hanukkah? 8 days on. Yaakov took the oil from the small jugs that he shachach. He banished the choshech of the Yevanim. He elevated that site and he called it Beit El. And that stone that he anointed later becomes the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov understood the spiritual value even in a small flask of oil. Rabbi Shabtai, I'm just a minute and a half and then I'm going to make you the host. Okay, I'm keeping my eye on the clock. I have one paragraph left. All year long, let's just finish up. Robertson Shira Smiles says, all year long, perhaps we can get away with a lackadaisical attitude, writes Rabbi Elimelech Biderman, but not on Chanukah. For non-performance of all other mitzvos, we may argue financial constraints, but for lighting Chanukah licht, one is required to even go into debt. For Chanukah licht, put everything together what we learned tonight. We, Baruch Hashem, covered a lot of material. You must exhibit self-sacrifice. For Chanukah lich, you have to go the extra mile. Don't forget the small jugs. This self-sacrifice is alluded to when Avram and Yitzchak went to the Akedas Yitzchak. Avram tells the men, you stay here, v'ani v'nar necha ad kol v'nishtachave. Me and the lad will go yonder and prostrate and worship God. Kol is the gematria 25. Ani v'nar necha ad kol chafei, gematria of 25. And that's what Hashem promised Avram Avinu by the Bris Ben Absar in Perek Tesvav. Kol yezarecha. Im tucha lispar osam, kol yezarecha. If you can count the stars, kol. The power of your children, Hashem told Avram before his children were even born, is that kol yezarecha, so your children will be. Your children will always embody the power of chaf hei, kol, 25. Which alludes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which falls on the 25th of Kislev. We will be like the stars. The stars bring light to a very dark sky. Kol yezarecha, Hashem said to Avram. And even now, necha ad kol, Avram said to Yishmael and Eliezer. Kol is 25, and that's how Knesset Yisrael will always be. The Chanukah licht brings a lot of light to a world full of darkness on the 25th of Kislev. I'm going to pass it on to Rabbi Shabtai. I hope everyone enjoyed and learned something new. Rabbi Shabtai, thank you so much. Let me just make you the host. Oh, you made yourself the host. Excellent. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.